Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Everybody out there this morning? I know it's an hour earlier, but that's all right. Hey, it is good to be with you. My name is Eric, and it's an honor for me to stand before you as we open up God's Word together. And I want to begin our time with just a brief but very scientific survey. I want you to get a picture in your mind, okay? Are you ready? Everybody thinking? Here we go. Here's the picture that I want you to get in your mind. I want you to think of ice cream. You got it? You know, ice cream, cool and delicious. Everyone's got a favorite flavor. I don't really care what what you're thinking about, a cup or a bowl or a cone. I want you to get in your mind that picture of ice cream. I want you to be able to almost taste that flavor. Because in just a moment, what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to say out loud what your favorite flavor of ice cream is, okay? So are you ready? You got the picture in your mind? Like I said, I'm doing a little survey. I want to make sure and get your answers down this morning. So on the count of three, say it loud, say it proud, tell me what your favorite flavor of ice cream is. Are you ready? One, two, and three. Just a second, let me write that down. I think I got everybody. What was that? Got that, Gail? No problem there. Okay. So when you think about all the different varieties of flavors of ice cream, there are so many to choose from, and each one, you know, the next one just better than the one before. In fact, Baskin-Robbins, they make more than 55 different flavors of ice cream. The good folks up at Bluebell, they make 67 different flavors of ice cream. But you know, out of all the different varieties, out of all the different flavors that are available to us, do you know what the number one best-selling flavor of ice cream is? Do you know what it is? It's vanilla. Isn't that funny? Out of all these different varieties, out of all these wonderful tastes that we have, vanilla is still the number one flavor of ice cream. Now, like I said, I'm doing a little survey here, and I have a little theory of why that is. You want to know what my theory is? I believe that vanilla is our favorite choice of ice cream because it's easy. I mean, when you think about what you're going to serve when you're serving someone ice cream, you know vanilla's not going to cause any fights. You know, there's not going to be any controversy. Vanilla is always consistent. It's ordinary. It's good. And sometimes when I think about that, I think that's the same way that we pattern our lives. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think of your life as maybe just ordinary or just vanilla? I mean, sometimes I think about my life in that way. Because although I love my family, I've got a house, I've got a good job. I mean, we're very comfortable, we're very content. But yet, as a follower of Christ, Jesus didn't call us to live just comfortable lives. He didn't call us just to live ordinary lives. No. God calls us to live extraordinary lives for Him. And you know, throughout history, God has been doing amazing things with His people for a very, very long time. How do I know that? Well, I've read their stories. In fact, I want to take just a minute, and I kind of want to walk through the Bible and kind of hit some highlights of some individuals who have just some amazing stories of what God has done in their life. If you go all the way back to Genesis, I think of an ordinary family man that ended up saving his family from a worldwide flood. That was Noah. I think about an elderly gentleman who had no children, but yet God promised him that he was going to be the father of a great nation. And of course, God did exactly that with the life of Abraham as he became the father of a great nation. I think about a young teenage boy whose brothers didn't think he was all that extraordinary. He was kind of a daydreamer. But yet this young teenager, he ended up saving the known world at that time from hunger and starvation. That was the story of Joseph. And then I think about that that runaway. He had made some mistakes, and one big one that he had made was murdering a man in Egypt, and he decided to flee the country, but yet God called him to go back and lead the nation of Israel out of captivity, out of Egypt. That was Moses. Along the way, he used a sinful woman. By most of our standards, we probably wouldn't have anything to do with her. We would disqualify her from serving God, but yet, because of her faithfulness, God decided to use Rahab in an amazing way so that she ended up becoming part of the lineage and the genealogy of Christ. Well, as we walk into the New Testament, I also think about that character that we don't think he's very ordinary, but he was that voice that was kind of homeless and wandering in the wilderness. And he was paving the way for Jesus Christ. I'm, of course, talking about John the Baptist. Then I think about that young woman that God chose to use her life in such a unique way. Because of her faithfulness, God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus. And then finally, I think about a man who would have been the least likely character that you would use to spread the word of God, but God chose to use an individual that was persecuting the church. He was doing everything that he could to stop the message of Christ, but yet God chose Paul to spread the message of salvation to the world. Now, what do each one of these individuals all have in common? Each one of them was ordinary. Each one of them was ordinary before God came to them and gave them an opportunity to do some amazing, amazing things. And you know what? Each one of these people, they all feared the unknown. They all had a hard time at moments getting out of their own comfort zone, out of their own routine. Each one of them had mistakes in their past, but yet God still chose to use them. Because he is in the business of taking our ordinary lives and doing extraordinary things with them. Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I want to spend a little time talking about the first couple of verses. In fact, I've got this verse printed out in your order of worship. It'll be up here on the screen because I've chosen kind of a unique translation because it speaks into what we're talking about this morning. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says, "Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God has done for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking." In fact, what he's saying here is that we shouldn't get so comfortable living here in this world that people don't notice that we're different. We shouldn't get so comfortable living our ordinary vanilla kind of lives that people don't even take notice that we have committed to Christ, to live and be called to a life that is different. Instead, he says, "Fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what he wants from you and quickly responding to it." You see, what God is telling us is he doesn't just want to take those big decisions in our life. He doesn't want to just take the big events of our life and do extraordinary things with them. He wants us to take those everyday, those ordinary moments in our life, you know, going to work, going to school, spending time with our friends. He wants us to take those ordinary moments and he wants us to stretch. He wants us to grow. He wants us to get out of our comfort zone so that we can take advantage of the opportunities that God places before us. But, you know, sometimes I mess God's plans up. Sometimes I don't always see things the way that he does. In fact, this morning I want to share with you a couple of things that I've found in my life that oftentimes hold me back or keep me from abandoning my ordinary life. The first thing is this. I think if we're really going to abandon the ordinary, allow God to do extraordinary things with us, I think we have to get over the fear of the unknown. Now, we already started talking a little bit about Moses, but in case you don't fully know or understand that story, Moses was a man that God chose to lead the children of Israel out of captivity, out of slavery, out of Egypt. But what happened earlier in Moses' life is that he made a huge, terrible mistake. Moses murdered another man, and when he did, he ran away. Far, far away from Egypt to begin a new life where he thought he would be away from all that. But yet God continued to follow him and came to him and asked, Moses, I have a special assignment for you. Now understand that when God came to Moses, he wasn't interested at all in listening or doing what God had asked him to do. I mean, Moses was pretty content in his life. He had a wife, he had a family, he had a job. I mean, he wasn't interested in going back to Egypt. He wasn't interested in doing what God had asked him. In fact, he began to make excuses to God. He said, Lord, can't you find someone else? Surely there is someone else to do what you've asked. And he made excuse after excuse after excuse. He said, Lord, I wouldn't know what to say. He said, Lord, I'm not a very good speaker, and I certainly don't want to go back to Egypt. Now, if you really think about this, Moses probably had some pretty legitimate excuses. Maybe Moses was terribly shy, or maybe he spoke with a lisp. A what? A lisp. Maybe Moses didn't want to go back to Egypt because he knew he had some outstanding warrants, and some of us know what that's like. I mean, I'm not saying that I can't drive in Louisiana. I'm just saying I choose not to. But some of us, we have these things in our life that we don't want to go back to. And Moses had some of those excuses, and I don't know about you, but when it comes to doing sometimes things for God, sometimes I'm the king of excuses. I mean, God puts all these different opportunities before me each day, and sometimes I make excuses. I don't know what to say to that person about Jesus. Or I don't have time to stop and help. I don't know if I can sign up for that ministry. I don't know if I can sign up for that project. You know, I have some of those same fears that you do. What if I don't know what to say? What if I fail? What if I look foolish? God, am I really prepared to do what you've asked me to do? We all have those same fears, but yet Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, for he will make your path straight. What he's telling us here is we need to abandon what we're used to doing, because all too often we get in kind of a rut. And we don't want to step out. But it's in those moments that God changes us. It's in those moments that God grows us from the inside out. We have to get over our fear of the unknown. We have to start trusting in God as he presents opportunities to us. The next thing that I think that we have to do is we need to have the right attitude. We need to have the heart of a servant. Now, I know that it's not always easy for us to want to serve. It's not always easy for us to have that heart that always wants to serve other people. In fact, here in the church, I mean, we would much rather be served than serve others, right? I mean, wouldn't it be nice on Sunday mornings, instead of, you know, parking out in the back 40, wouldn't it be nice if we had, you know, valet parking right up here? You just pull your car right up and somebody, I mean, we love convenience. We love comfort. In fact, I've seen that some of you have discovered our preferred parking right out here in front. You've seen the guest parking? Kim, you've seen the guest parking, haven't you? Yeah? Still calling yourself a guest, are we now? It's been a few years since you've been here. No, we all love that convenience. We all love the ease of wanting someone else to serve us. But God calls us to get out of our comfort zone. God calls us to have a heart of service. But you know, I am so thankful that I'm not the only one that struggles with that. In fact, it does my heart a little bit of good to know that Jesus' own disciples, those that were closest to him, sometimes struggled with having a heart of a servant. Because Jesus' message that he teaches us is one that is really challenging, not just for the people in his day, it is the same for us today. It is a paradigm shift because Jesus says, hey, if you want to be great, you have to be willing to serve. If you want to go to the front, you need to start in the back. If you want to stand out in a crowd, you need to be ready to serve. In fact, Jesus uses his own life as an example. Matthew chapter 20, he says, the Son of Man didn't come to earth to be served, but instead to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many. That's why that we're supposed to have that same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility. Consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but look to the interests of others. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. It's not always our first response to have a heart or an attitude that's willing to serve other people. But you know, when we do cultivate that kind of heart, when we do make those decisions where we're willing to serve those around us, we are never more like Jesus than when we are serving. That's because God, at his very nature, is a servant. We are made in the image of God, and therefore we were created to serve. And if we're going to abandon our ordinary life, we have to have that heart of a servant. And then I think the last thing that we need to do is we need to make sure we're looking for opportunities that God places before us. Because, I mean, we live this very fast-paced life. I mean, our schedules are full. You know, our calendars are busy with activities and events. And sometimes we are so busy, we are running at such a rapid pace that sometimes we just miss those opportunities. Sometimes we just don't even see the opportunities that God places before us. And sometimes we are so busy and our schedules are so full that we don't even allow enough margin time in our life to actually slow down, to actually stop and help when an opportunity arises. And you know, those opportunities are out there all the time. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are created in the image of Christ Jesus to do good works in which God has prepared in advance for us to do. How do we abandon the ordinary? How do we get out of our regular routine so that God can do something extraordinary with us? Well, I think it begins by getting over the fear of the unknown. That we begin to cultivate that attitude of a servant so that we can stop and take advantage of the opportunities that God places before us. And I know a lot of you think, well, you know, how do I do that? How do I prioritize all the different ways that I could really do something extraordinary with God? Well, I'll tell you, it begins first at home. And Ronnie talks about this a lot. As we have different opportunities, we need to make sure that we're meeting our responsibility at home, doing the things that we need to do as a husband or a wife or as a parent or as a child, just as Deuteronomy talks about living that faith out at home. We also need to make sure that we are taking care of our community of faith, as Galatians talks about. We need to be responding to those needs of those brothers and sisters in Christ that are right here before us. But then we also need to go. We need to go out to our community and to our world so that God can do some extraordinary things through us. So what's the bottom line here? What do we do to get out of our ordinary routine? You know, as I look around this room, I see a lot of good people with a ton of potential. You know, and as I look around this room and I see some of your faces, I know some of your stories and I know some of the things that God is doing with you. I look back there, I see Lacey Koontz. Some of you all might know Lacey, but Lacey has been serving for a number of years as he takes his skill as an eye doctor and he goes on a medical mission trip every year to India. I look right up here at Tim and Tammy McDonald. Both of them have jobs and careers. They're busy folks. Tammy's one of our teachers here at Cornerstone Christian Academy, and Tim, do you do anything during the day? Tim does a lot of stuff. He's got a great job also, but both of them, they've taken time out not to just only serve here in this church, but they go on trips each year to Haiti. They've been to Honduras. I look over here, I see Mike Calvert. Mike and Nancy Calvert have been great servants of this church for a long time. Earlier, just a couple of weeks ago, Mike was honored from Abilene Christian University, not just for his success in business here in the Houston area, but Mike was given this Young Alumnus Award because it's the highest honor that ACU offers because of his work in Haiti and in Africa, the things that he is doing. You know, and as I look around this room, I could continue to tell one story after another. We could be here all afternoon because I see God taking ordinary people and doing extraordinary things with your life. But this morning, I want to ask you, just like I ask myself each and every day, what extraordinary thing is God going to do with your ordinary you? What extraordinary thing is God going to do with ordinary you? What is it that God is calling you to do right now in your life? And what is it that is keeping you from saying, no, God? Is it the fear of the unknown? Is it maybe changing your heart, changing your attitude? Is it that you're so busy that you don't even see the opportunities that God places before you? Well, this morning I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to take your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your walking around life, and I want you to remember that those opportunities that God gives you happen throughout your day if you will just take notice. Well, I want to ask you right now to go ahead and stand where you're at, and I'm going to ask our shepherding couples to come down front. And we're going to end our service time with a time of prayer. You'll also notice that you've got a communication card in your order of worship, also there in the pew in front of you. And what I want to ask you to do is to think about what is it that's holding you back from different opportunities in your life. In fact, as you're filling out that communication card, you'll notice on it that there's a place for prayer requests. Well, this morning you have a couple of different options. One, you can come down during our prayer time and pray with some of our shepherding couples. If there's something that's holding you back, if there's an obstacle, if there's a challenge in your life that you want somebody to pray with about, we have that opportunity right now. Maybe this morning you just want to write that prayer request on your communication card. In just a minute, we'll be passing those to the ends of the aisle, and we'll be praying about those prayer requests that you send in a little bit later this week. But right now, we want to sing this song and give you an opportunity to pray.